Good evening. Welcome to Symposium. Tonight, with Meriam Kourichi. Tonight is, of course, a manner of speaking. Especially in the series of sound file correspondences that starts with this program for the next 6 months. Thank you.
Miriam, how would you define the night?
Night comes after day. When you say that, you say a lot, actually. You say a lot about time, about the conception and the sensation, the feeling of time. Hegel says, the owl of Minerva spreads its wings only with the falling of dusk, meaning that it's precisely the moment when something in the perception, experience of time changes. The quality of time changes, and it's opening up a moment of reflection after action, a moment of suspension, meaning of suspended time, maybe the moment that the opportunity to seize a moment, the opportunity to experience pure duration as opposed to timed time. Suspension means exactly that. It means a lapse of limited time, because night is limited. But the limitation of night can contain something infinite. When you don't sleep, you can slip. And it's then a moment of wisdom. Minerva is this the Roman name for the Greek goddess of wisdom. So the moment of wisdom, reflection, thinking, pondering. But it's also a very slippery moment, and the moment of Dionysos. It's the time of contradiction, and from contradiction comes out new things. Things that are apparently well-defined begin to be undefined, or to appear to be not very well-defined.
So here we are, in philosophical suspension, in the night. And it is, or it could be, a little bit past 1 a.m. in the East Coast, where neither you nor me are right now. But here we exist as radio voices. Radio may be the limbo of communication, just as philosophy may be the limbo of action. A flight to see, the owl's flight, the owl's crepuscular flight, if I may say. But to see what? Perhaps the tectonics of doubt, desire, and matter in our world. If I may this time paraphrase Mark Rakatansky's trope. And therefore, to see in flight. And I think of the flight of voices in transmission, in the night of transmission. and I frankly don't know what time it is now. But before I become the interviewee of my own interview with you, Myriam, let me ask you. Since you are a woman of letters, une femme de lettres, and since you have dared merging philosophy and theater in a completely surprising manner lately, how do you connect the figures of the philosopher and the comedian?
Now we're not here, and we're here, and maybe we were never more here through our voices. And precisely, there is a link between philosophers and comedians, or let's start first with actors. And the link is the voice, the fact that both use the voice as a tool of convincing, seducing the audience. Philosophers argue in their writings, but when they speak, they are also in a situation of seducing an audience, and they are also in a situation of performing. So there is something similar to an actor. And as the actor, and like the actor, the philosopher, the good philosopher, seek the present moment, the moment when he finds something in the moment, and not only repeat mechanically what he planned to say. So there is something about, improvisation, something improvised or discovered in the moment, in the present moment. A philosopher is a sort of stand-up comedian. He's doing a stand-up when he's doing his a lecture, a conference. Either good or bad, it's beyond this question of being a good or a bad performer. This is this kind of occupying the moment in search of the pure, sheer quality of presence. Acting, and maybe in the sense, the first sense, the Stoics put it, and so we go back to a more general sense about the meaning of life and how to act in life, because the Stoics had this general idea that men men in general, so you, me, people who are now listening to us, that men in general should accept their role in life assigned by fate. There is this idea that you're thrown into life and you have to play your role, your part. You're in it. And how to get out of it? That's the a big question. But the other big question is, but what is this role I have to play? Is it written?
Well, it's interesting that you speak about seduction because it can be seen as a reductivist concept. I think seduction is just one of the things happening to the audience in front of these of one of these true this powerful performers. Well, what else happens there besides seduction? There's persuasion. And on the other hand, I think there's an interesting comparison now that we are speaking about actors and philosophers as actors. Because, well, far from saying that the actor is a philosopher, there's an interesting parallel. If we think of philosophy as an art of thinking, and an art of thinking with a particular goal, which is, for some philosophers, to learn how to live, this would be the ethical vanishing point of the philosophical effort, the philosophical project. And meanwhile, we can see that the actor learns how to live through imitation, through the life of others, as an image that is then reproduced as an imitation of the appearance. By this imitation, not only the actor creates a character, but the imitated figure becomes a character. But I don't want to lose my thread. So the actor is learning to live through others. And despite the importance that philosophy has in our culture, I have the feeling that the actor's form of imitation of life is even more pervasive. People actually learn to live like actors. So to a certain extent, we can say theater is stronger than philosophy. And since perhaps the beginnings of human life, theater has prevailed over philosophy. Could you send me some ambient noises from where you are? Thank you.
and what is its status? What is it for something to be good or bad? And this is a point on which there is some significant disagreement among scholars. In this lecture, I take issue with a prevalent subjectivist tendency in reading Spinoza's account of good. Good is nothing but a matter of opinion, a human construction. It's clear that we neither strive for, nor will, neither want, nor desire anything because we judge it to be good. On the contrary, we judge something to be good because we strive for it, will it, want it, and desire it.
Time is a child playing dice. Now that you're speaking of a throw of the dice, time is a child playing dice. We say that, of course, after Heraclitus, and perhaps we could add, time plays dice with billions of dice in each throw, and the resulting numbers are overwhelming, and they occur every billionth of a second. So, nothing simple to imagine at all. And as we exchange these words and these voicings in the form of sound files from one mailbox to the other, and from one city to the other, between Bilbao and Paris. As we do that, I believe a part of Paris has been transformed in a grandiose stage, thanks to an act of God.
unstage situations like a flood make even the word unstaged sound ridiculous. I think they introduce the theatrical element in a brutal manner, and that's how I connect the terms you were using of the theatrical and the cosmic. In this idea of the cosmic theater, the cosmic theater or a cosmic theater, I guess there's a difference in these nuances, and the cosmic theater also brings theater far from the idea of cheap imitation, as you say. But I have to clarify, I was rather referring and this to invoke Mallarmé once again, to a form of mimicry that is again cosmic and ontological, and that only through acting we seem to access or is revealed to us more clearly through the labor of acting. Le travail du comédien. The cosmic theater seems to be all about splitting, doubling up. The mimicry without an object. Which brings me to ask you, could you explain your concept of improvisation and the unstaged?
You think of Heraclitus, and I think of Lucrece, actually, of his poem of nature. I think of his Clinamen. The slightest deviation that generates, well, the world, this almost nothing that creates everything. And I wonder if there is a very special connection, intimate connection, between this organization of the chaos and improvisation. Improvisation is maybe an unstaged improvisation, is gathering the conditions where to generate chaos. Chaos that can provide or produce something. But also, on the other hand, which can produce nothing. So that's the risk of cosmic theater, this equal capacity of generating something or nothing on the basis of a very tiny, the slightest deviation, the slightest declination, Clinamen. And I wonder if improvisation is not this brutal introduction of an element of chaos, yes, and this epiphany of the system of the world, actually, this. Yeah, you mentioned the flood that is affecting Paris at the moment. And it's exactly that I saw, like, in the beginning of Moby Dick. All the Parisians go there, go on the banks of their river to watch the flood, to watch the water reflecting a bigger power. The cosmic power, or the power of Earth.
What are the limits of an individual?
Contrary to apparent limitation of a person, an individual is not defined by the shape of a body, of what we think.
one individual. It's like in a conversation, so it's a very unstable thing, individuals, but it's a very creative thing. You can form another, a bigger individual when, for instance, you are in a deep and profound discussion with someone else. Individual, though within limits, is quite infinite because there is an indefinite number of things that enter the definition of your individual. What it means is that you can even imagine or conceive the total universe as an individual. A global individual, which is, a paradox, but it's not a contradiction.
Thank you.
And I would say that it's a very interesting idea. It's that it's because it's maybe so I'm going from the finite point of view to the infinite point of view, from the individual limited point of view to the global individual point of view. When you consider, if you can consider that the universe is an individual, a global total individual. The idea of totality, it's the idea of totality that leads to the idea of infinity. Something is created or is produced or it is producing itself, and then it goes on and on and on, and it expands, pushing the limits. Thank you.